We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news as we discuss an injury blow for Kobbie Mainoo. We'll also be talking about the latest around Kone, Scott, Palmer, Vinicius Jr., Somerville, all incomings for Manchester United. We'll also be reacting a little bit of an opinion piece from Andy Mitten, which I think adds to the opinion piece I did last night about the Morgan Rogers signing. So many people in the comments of that video talking about we've made these mistakes in the past and I don't want Morgan Rogers, completely missing the point that we haven't spent more than £90 million on a player for a decade and everybody else around us is doing it. And some of our fans back this, and I think they're indoctrinated into the ownership who aren't doing it because they think it's the way to be successful. They're doing it because they're tight. And, you know, can we be successful when we can't compete for the players that we want? And basically what Andy Mitten is saying is that Morgan Rogers, Matheus Fernandes, Elliot Anderson, they wanted those players. So there's a contradiction with some people in our fan base going, well, I'm glad we're not buying them, but the club wanted them. They just can't afford them. So if you take that United wanted Anderson, Fernandes and Rogers and they can't afford them, that's not a different pathway. That's not a different transfer strategy. That's an open admission. We can't afford the players that we actually want. So how are we building success when we can't get the plan and A and B that we actually want, you know? And it's 10 years since we've spent more than £90 million on a player and revenue's gone up. You know, 10 years ago, the revenue Man United were making is very, very different to what they're making now. There's no microphone, I've got a microphone. Just refresh it. Loads of people can hear me. It's probably just people in the chat doing their normal stuff. So look, let's get straight into the show. I want to talk about the injury blow for Kobbie Mainoo. So basically, Mainoo did not get involved in the game yesterday. And it was basically a scenario where Thomas Tuchel has come out and basically said that Mainoo didn't play because he picked up an injury in training. That injury in training is a back issue. Now, I think that's an arse issue, and I think it's a splinter on the bum issue from sitting on the bench for so long issue. He's probably got a numb arse in relation to sitting down for so long. So I personally don't think there is a problem with Mainoo. I think the issue with Mainoo is non-existent. I was listening to the commentary last night because I didn't do a watch along for it. And they were basically saying that after the semi-final, you just want to go on holiday. You've been part of a group for about 6-7 weeks after a long season, and you know today you're getting on a plane to go on holiday for 3 weeks. If you pick up an injury, you're going straight back to your club to be assessed. You're not going on holiday. So a lot of players will be thinking, I don't want to push it. I don't want to go and get injured. So there is a chance that Mainoo, and we know what Mainoo's, you know, we had the whole T-shirt thing. Rightly or wrongly, I think Mainoo may have just gone, I don't want to play in this game. I'm a bit pissed off. And he has done that with United. And to be honest with you, it's a very different story when it's United. When it's England, I sort of understand that he's wasted his whole summer. And what does Mainoo benefit from playing in that game last night? I told you so. I mean, so what? So I think Mainoo will be fine, is my prediction. I think we have to be a little bit wary that, you know, the injury could be genuine, but I would say he's absolutely fine. And I would say it's just avoiding the game for England because he doesn't really see the benefit of it. And it's a big season for him. So, you know, he wasn't on the bench for England. He didn't play any minutes because apparently he's got an injury. I don't know whether he does. We'll find out in 3 weeks when he comes back for Man United fully fit. If he doesn't come back fully fit and he has got an injury, then, you know, that would just cap off a crap summer for him. But I personally think this is just shove your friendly up your arse, because it was just a friendly. And I don't know that he'll be getting in England squads in the future anyway, whilst Thomas Tuchel's the manager. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about that. It's one to monitor, but I don't think it's going to be a key issue for Manchester United there. And I'm probably with the majority. I don't really blame him for swerving the game. If you play that game and you pick up an injury, what a waste of time, you know? And people will say, well, you know, he looked fine at full time. I think he's just swerved that game. And to be honest with you, being a petulant person myself, I probably would swerve it as well. Which is, you know, is why I didn't do I didn't swerve the 10 o'clock show this morning, because I was being petulant. Seb had a match this morning and they got absolutely hammered. And, you know, that's the humbling of football sometimes, isn't it? But look, I think Maynou will be fine, but we do have to cover the potential injury there. But my guess is that, there's nothing wrong with him. We'll have to wait and see. Talking about some injury stuff, transfer stuff, a few updates to bring you this morning. So The Athletic are basically saying that Roma have made an offer of about £40 million for Somerville. West Ham are still looking for about 50. This is a player that United really do like, by the way, but we can't do anything because of Rashford. The feeling is that the offer from Roma will be too low, and that might stop this deal happening quickly, which may still leave the door open for Manchester United. I don't know how long that door can stay open, because, you know, we've got to figure out what we're doing with Marcus Rashford first, I suppose. But more importantly, let's talk about the midfield. Somebody said, what do you mean about the eyes on... I shouldn't have done that tweet last night. I put a tweet out last night after the Morgan Rogers story, and I put eyes and Cole Palmer. Even Beth was like, is that from your source? This is not from our good source. This is just, I have heard for the last 6 months from various people, and I would shout them out if it ever came off, keep an eye on Cole Palmer to Manchester United. Now, this would be absolutely stunning. We spoke about Vinicius Jr. yesterday. I think Man United should be looking to do these sort of deals, but the fact that we're not, we're not going to sign Cole Palmer. We're not going to sign Cole Palmer. Let's get real. There has been rumours all summer, and I'd be lying if I said to you that there hadn't been little stories all summer, but nobody believes them, and I don't think United would do anything about it. Where United are at the moment, though, on the midfield, a few people messaged me last night about Scott. I don't know where the new stories about Scott have come from, but there is no new story about Scott. Man United aren't in the habits of leaking their stories to anybody at the moment anyway, so United aren't leaking who they're talking to. The truth around the midfield at the moment is that we've held more talks with Kone and his representatives. We're definitely keeping that on. If you can imagine, like, and I don't know how many of you do this, have you ever boiled an egg or made some pasta on the hob? We've got Kone transfer story on the hob simmering at the moment. It's not boiling. It's not boiling hot. It's not 9 out of 10 on the hotometer, but it's simmering at about a steady 7. We are keeping the heat on. We are having more talks. Kone is definitely an ongoing option for Manchester United. There is a warning sign that Chelsea, as we've seen, can just swoop in and do a deal. But Man United are still continuing talks with Kone and his representatives. That is still, as of the last few days, ongoing. With regards to Scott, there's no talks with Scott. There's nothing with Scott. There is no talks with Bournemouth. There is no talks with the agent. He's not even for sale. He's not decided his future yet. So Scott, I would put in the bucket of Rodgers and Anderson, not even Fernandes, because we had talks with him. I would put Scott with Rodgers and Anderson. 100% a player that Man United admire and they like, and they may have held talks within the club about him, but anything external is not happening at the moment because he is not for sale and his price is 80 million. We'll start there. So United are not in talks with Scott. They're not in talks with Bournemouth. They're not advancing anything there. So I don't know whether that's just paper talk, Sunday morning talk, but there's nothing advancing with Scott at the moment. And I honestly don't think it will. I like the player, but I don't think it will. I think where we are at the moment is that Manu Kone fits the bill for Manchester United. We're probably going to look to spend around £50 million again. And we're probably going to go with a similar signing to Santos and Tielemans again of that sort of level. And I think Kone does fit that sort of level of what Man United want to do. We also want to do other deals as well. We want to sign players in different positions, but we're not going to sign anybody else until we resolve the third midfielder. Because the problem is, if the Manu Kone deal doesn't happen, unless there's a real shock signing that no one's talking about, and that mystery midfielder could be that, everybody else will cost you quite a bit of money. So that would impact Man United's budget to go and get a left back or a backup striker. So at the moment, it's all focused on one deal at a time, as Calvin says. But hot off the press this morning, if you can say that, the talks are ongoing with Kone, and that's the only player definitively that United are talking to at the moment. We're certainly not in talks with Scott at the moment. And if that changes, which I don't think it will, if that changes, it certainly wouldn't surprise me. Apparently your internet is shite. I've been doing it for 10 years. Apologies for that. YouTube says the stream is healthy and I've got all green bars on mine. So apologies if you're having problems this morning, but I've been doing it for 10 years and there's nothing flashing up at our side. And trust me, we have had issues in the past. So apologies if you're having any issues. Do you think Rashford could go to Villa now that Rodgers went to Chelsea? Marcus Rashford doesn't want to play for any other Premier League club other than Man United. He doesn't feel that that is his pathway. I'm speaking like I know Rashford, but I do know this. Rashford hasn't got an appetite to go to another Premier League club. Manchester United is his Premier League club, and I don't think he wants to go and do that. The loan deal suited him. And maybe, I'm not saying he wouldn't loan himself to another Premier League club, but he won't be moving to another Premier League club. I know it's only the first pre-season game, but my God, Luke Shaw twice a week in Champions League is going to be scary. Hope they get someone else. Look, Arshan, I'll put this in here as a bit of bonus content for you because I love Ricky. I know a lot of you love Ricky as well. I literally got a voice note after my match reaction last night, and he won't mind me saying this because he's probably put it on his Instagram already. He was basically saying that it was Aidan Heaven's fault. Luke Shaw, even though he had a man to mark, could see that Aidan Heaven wasn't tight enough to the striker. So he, you know, pulled rank because he's more experienced and moved to mark the striker and left his man. So Ricky blames Aidan Heaven. I said to him, mate, he's past it. And you can't blame Aidan Heaven for that because the cross goes to the back post, which is Luke Shaw's man. And Luke Shaw can't be pulling rank to do Aidan Heaven's job. He's got to do his own job. And Ricky went, nah. So look, that I'm not going to say anything else. That's what I said. That's what Ricky said. Choose your horse. S. Rivers said, I've become more convinced that Scott is the third midfielder. Makes sense if United are waiting on his talks with Bournemouth by early this week. Plus Sully's info, says S. Rivers. I mean, if you want to believe that, that's up to you. I think that in relation to that particular source, they are a club source. And I've never really trusted their transfer information either. And they're certainly not in talks with the sort of people that we've spoken to. So I don't think we're in talks with Alex Scott at all. And if that's where the information's coming from, then probably that makes sense why a lot of people are talking about it. Respect to anybody in this space that is putting information out there. For me, I think he's quite good at injuries because he knows somebody at Carrington. I think they're on security or something. So he knows who's coming in and out of the ground. But in relation to transfers, I don't trust it at all. I think he was wrong on Mbeumo last year. He was wrong on Fernandez. And we're not in talks with Scott. And I know that. So, but you know, believe what you want. It's all about opinion. That's why you get multiple choice. But we are in talks with Kone, as revealed by us. And, you know, obviously this time last week, I put it out there about Tielemans. So believe what you want. Make your own decisions up. Believe Ricky on Luke Shaw if you want, you know. Mark, Lopez Cabral, the secret signing. Not heard anything about that, Ranjav. We shouldn't be judging transfers by the fee. We should be judging them on the return on the investment, says Azor. Look, just going back to that, right? I did that video last night about the Rodgers deal. And the great thing about life is there's different levels of intelligence. And when I say intelligence, I'm not saying you're stupid if you only want to buy players under 50 million. I'm saying you lack intelligence if you can't listen to a conversation before making your mind up. I literally did a video last night talking about how the Morgan Rodgers deal means that Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City are regularly buying players around £100 million, and we haven't done it for 10 years. I was simply making the observation that those five clubs are more ambitious than us. We haven't signed a player of that value for 10 years. Now, you can agree with it. Respect. I said that on the video. You can. I respect if you think we should buy cheap players and that's the way you want to go. Absolutely fine. But you can't come back at those of us who say we're unambitious by saying, well, we're not unambitious. Look at the mistakes we've made buying players expensively before. It doesn't mean that we'll be successful now. And I'm like, I literally said that in the video. I knew people would say, well, we did that in the past. But Man City did it in the past. Arsenal have just done it in the past. They've won the league. They've won the league. Liverpool did it. They've won the league. We bought stupid players for stupid prices and gave them stupid wages. I wouldn't mind Man United buying an expensive success instead of an expensive mistake. I wouldn't mind Manchester United going and spending £120 million on Vitinha or João Neves. I'd love it. And that's my point. I'm not saying that we haven't made mistakes in the past. But the reality is, the question is, if Man United haven't bought a £90-100 million player for 10 years, and all our other rivals are doing that, we better hope they're all buying flops. Because if they're not, they're operating in a market we're not entering. And is that going to hurt us? Well, I think it will. That's my opinion, because I have seen United for a lot longer than most of you because of age. And we used to do this, you know, for Elliot Anderson, read Rio Ferdinand. For Morgan Rogers, read Andy Cole. For Tonali, I mean, Rooney's better than him, but we Van Nistelrooy, we've always used to go and buy these types of players, and now we're not. And the contradiction is exactly what Andy Mitten said. The contradiction is, we are a contradiction as a football club, because although there are some fans saying, I don't want Morgan Rogers, I don't want Elliot Anderson, I don't want Fernandes at that price, which is your right, the cold harsh truth is, Man United really like Morgan Rogers. Man United really wanted Elliot Anderson. Man United really wanted Mateus Fernandes. So the message from the club is not that they don't want those players, it's that they can't afford those players, which is a very different thing to what some people, look, some people, in fairness, are just very, very rigid in the sense that they want everything United do to be correct. Unfortunately, 13 years of failure proves that we do get a lot of things wrong. But it's not that your opinion's wrong. I mean, this is what Andy Mitten said. Morgan Rogers is going to Chelsea for £117 million. Manchester United loved Morgan Rogers, Mateus Fernandes and Elliot Anderson. And whilst the signings so far have been all right, this just shows the reality that Man United are not going to spend £100 million on a player. The money isn't there. So that's the message. It's not speculative. United wanted Elliot Anderson. They wanted Mateus Fernandes. They wanted Morgan Rogers, but they can't afford them. Deal with that statement. Don't deal with, well, I didn't want them anyway. Or don't deal with, well, I think we shouldn't spend that money. United, answer that question. United wanted Morgan Rogers, they wanted Elliot Anderson, and they wanted Mateus Fernandes, but they can't afford them. That's very different to, we didn't want them anyway, we're just going to buy £50 million players. If United had come out and said, we know everybody we want, and they're all under £50 million, and that's what we want to do, that's very different to, we do want those players, but we can't afford them, because that sends the message out that if things go wrong next season, and hopefully they won't, they can almost hide behind their own incompetence of, well, we did want Elliot Anderson. We did want Mateus Fernandes. We did want Morgan Rogers, but we couldn't afford them. And the blame game gets shifted, doesn't it? My personal opinion is, I don't care about the price. I care about plan A, B, and C. I've always said that. Always said that. Many of you have said it as well. To me, it's not the price. You know, if you've got like a player that's at Burnley with 1 year left on his contract and, you know, he's 23 and he looks like he's going to be the best player England have ever had. And just by circumstance, he's got 1 year left on his contract at Burnley. And there's a, you know, the price is set at 40 million and there's a bit of a bidding war, but he chooses Man United. Oh, you spent £40 million on him. That same player could be at Tottenham looking to leave with a 4 year deal and be £120 million. So it's not really the price. And I think some people don't understand this. I don't massively care about the price. You get what you pay for. But there are parameters that dictate the price. I just want us to get plan A, B, and C. And I think this is where people don't listen because they get so locked in on their own opinion. Like somebody said last night, well, a few years ago, you were saying you don't want us paying big wages anymore. No, you've left the context out, haven't you? I don't want us to keep paying silly wages for players that don't deserve it. I don't mind giving Tonali 250 grand a week. I don't mind giving Bruno 350 grand a week. I don't mind giving Erling Haaland £500,000 a week because I think that in the context of the world of football, they're probably worth it. I do not want to give Luke Shaw 200 grand a week. I do not want to give Mason Mount 250 grand a week. That's what I don't want to say. So for me, it's not really about Morgan Rodgers for £117 million and whether he's worth it. The point is people are worth what people are willing to pay. And if we're not willing to pay, then we won't get those players. And I think that's, to me, what I find quite confusing is when people go, well, he's overpriced. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But if you want the player, that's what you've got to pay, or you end up without it. And if United put Elliot Anderson as plan A and they don't get him, and they put Mateus Fernandez as plan B and they don't get him, and they put Tonali as plan C and they don't get him, and they put Tchouaméni as plan D and they don't get him, well, I know we're on plan E, whoever it is. That's my problem. I don't care whether plan A costs 40 or 100. I want us to get plan A and B because I've seen so many... You know what it is, and I'm sure you'll all agree with me on this. I get tired of the repetition of Manchester United where a manager fails because they're not given what they want. You go back to Louis van Gaal, and look, to be fair, David Moyes didn't get... David Moyes had the worst transfer window out of everybody. As much as I think David Moyes was a terrible appointment, I can't lie. He got the worst transfer window of everybody. That was apps. I mean, considering he was taking over the title holders and, 20-something years of Sir Alex Ferguson, that transfer window was shit. Moyes got the worst transfer window anybody ever got. So it started with Moyes. It then continued with Van Gaal and Mourinho and Ollie and Ten Hag and Amorim and everything in between. United have never given a manager plan A or B signings. It's always plan D, E and F. And I just want a manager to get plan A and B because if it goes wrong, even if it goes wrong with Tielemans and Santos, and I hope it doesn't, we'll still be sat there going, well, Carrick didn't get what he wanted. There's no way that Santos and Tielemans were what he wanted. You know, they're probably plan D, E and F. And that's the point I'm making. It's like, obviously you get what you pay for. And sometimes if you want plan A, you've got to pay big money. But surely the quest is to get what the manager wants and what the club wants. And we haven't done that. And that's what bothers me. And I absolutely will say this. You are going to struggle to get plan A, B and C when you refuse as a football club to spend big money. I mean, Paul Pogba, 10 years ago, £89 million was a very good signing. People think he was a flop. He wasn't. There was problems, but he wasn't a flop, in my opinion. Paul Pogba, £89 million, was a statement signing, and he did reasonably well. We haven't repeated that for a decade. Forget Morgan Rodgers. Forget Elliot Anderson. Answer the question. If you're not buying plan A, B and C consistently and you haven't broke your transfer record for a decade, are you moving forward or are you moving backwards? Categorically, I think you're moving backwards. And that's something United don't seem to be able to do anymore. And I think that's a problem. As for the prices, look, I did read a very interesting point last night. Inadvertently, we've just helped Chelsea buy Morgan Rodgers because we overpaid for Santos. We gave them £50 million for Santos. And in that little £20 million that they've got extra, they basically bought a £90 million player for £20 million more. So we've probably facilitated Chelsea to do it. Now, I'm not going to blame United for that. I said this on That's Football yesterday. There's this strange cycle going on. And I don't know whether it's cheating, because I don't know whether the clubs are doing it on purpose. But you get Tonali going to... Spurs for 90 million, and then you've got Newcastle looking to give Spurs 50 for Bergvall. And you're sort of like, and you've got Man City giving Forest 117 million for Anderson, but then you've got Spurs giving Man City 70 million for Savinho, who's a bench player. You've then got Chelsea giving 117 million pounds to Villa but Nicholas Jackson might be going to Chelsea. There's, and we saw this a few years ago with a load of young players, Chelsea, Everton, Newcastle, and somebody else did it. Now it's happening at the top level. Inflated prices, you've almost got to take 20, 30 million pounds off, because for every Morgan Rogers, Chelsea will be selling somebody overpriced as well. And this is where we're struggling. We can't even do that. Spurs are buying big, but they're selling big. Man City are buying big, but they're selling big. Chelsea are buying big, but they're selling big. So you pay 20, 30 million pounds more for a player that is worth, but then you sell a player for 20, 30 million pounds more. So look, basically, Chelsea have really bought Morgan Rogers for 90, because Santos to me is worth 30 and we've given 50. So 110, 117, whatever. They'll make that up on Nicholas Jackson as well. So I wouldn't look at the price of Elliot Anderson, because Elliot Anderson, 116 million. They're selling Savinho for 70. Savinho's worth about 45. So they've made 25 million on Savinho, more than they should have done. Take that off Elliot Anderson. They've just bought him for 90. So this is what I mean. If you can't sell in this market, it's a killer. And what I mean by that is, maybe United could have bought Matheus Fernandes for 85 million and squared it off that he's overvalued by 20 by selling somebody like Mason Mount for 50. You know, Mason Mount's not worth 50, he's worth 30. So, but we haven't got anybody to do that with. So I'm not blaming the club on that. I'm just saying there is a weird window going on where everybody is buying big, is also selling big. And that's why I think the transfer fees are distorted. Because, yeah, £117 million is a lot of money. But Chelsea have already made 20 on a player that's worth 30, and we gave him 50. And Nicholas Jackson's probably going to go for about 50. So you're making the money back, aren't you? If we can't sell, we can't compete. So many teams are selling over price. And it's all happening in the Premier League as well. That's the weird thing to me. It's all happening in the Premier League. None of these players are being sold abroad because the abroad clubs can't afford the fees. So there's all this money swashing around. It's not money laundering. It's just cycling of money. You know, you overpay for him and we'll overpay for him and we'll over. And some of them are doing it between multiple clubs. Some of them are doing it direct. Chelsea will probably buy Morgan Rogers and Villa will buy Nico Jackson. But some of them are doing it around like that. And that hurts us as well, because if we pay 85 million for Matheus Fernandes, we are overpaying. But we're not selling anybody overpriced to make a little bit back. So, yeah, it is problematic. And, you know, I don't know how we're going to solve that as well. I mean, I have seen a story, actually, I did want to bring this in. A couple of stories, I'll get into your comments in a minute. A couple of stories about Milan and Ahmad over the last few weeks. And there was another one today. Is there any smoke without fire? If we start selling people like Ahmad, if we start selling people like, I'm trying to think who else. If we start selling people like Ahmad or Mazraoui or trying to think of anybody else, even a Yoro, we start selling players like that. That's when you do worry about being an Everton, because you're selling players we need to make money. What we need to sell is players we don't want. And I don't know whether we have anybody like that coming forward. I really don't. Would you sell Ahmad for 70 million? Well, but that won't happen, because the only club interested in Ahmad is AC Milan, and they won't be able to afford that. So Ahmad won't be heading anywhere. But if you were selling Ahmad in this market, in the Premier League, you'd say to Spurs, we want 70 for Ahmad, and you're getting 20 overvalue. That's my point, but I wouldn't sell him. Xerxes needs to go. He's dreadful, says Daniel. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a preseason game yesterday and I've moved on from it very quickly. I think you have to. I think you take the learnings and you move on. I think the learnings from yesterday were in my match reaction that Luke Shaw's a problem at left back and Xerxes is never going to be a striker, because I don't think he understands the role. But United can't sell. So ultimately, Rashford's going to come back and we can't buy a winger, and Xerxes is going to stay and we can't buy a striker. This is a problem that's been a problem at the football club for a long time. It's like you said before, Ineos bought into the club. We will never be until we get rid of the Glazers, clear debt and start spending like other clubs, says Ren. Look, it's like the reality is, as fans, we already know the reality. Like, you know, Morgan Rogers goes to Chelsea for £117 million. If United like Cole Palmer, they should be knocking down a £120 million bid today. See if Chelsea sniff at that. Or £120 million for Casido. Like, Chelsea aren't in the Champions League. A big club that's ambitious would go and knock on the door and say, there's £120 million for Caicedo, do you want it? There's £120 million for Cole Palmer, do you want it? Now, you might not agree with that, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. We don't even have the ability to do that. Arsenal do, Liverpool do, Chelsea do, Spurs do, Man City do, we don't. And this is where people get confused. Well, I wouldn't spend £120 on Cole Palmer. Well, good for you, but who would you spend £120 million on? Because we wouldn't spend it anyway. We can close the door on loads of deals that loads of other clubs will do, and we won't. And I don't think that's a good thing. I don't want to spend £100 million on Adam Wharton. I don't. But I wouldn't mind spending £100 million on certain other players, but we won't. We can't. We're not that club. Our rivals can. So we end up in this world of let's hope cheap signings end up being really good and let's hope that all these expensive signings flop. That's our tactic now. We need to buy cheap players that overachieve and hope that all our rivals, their expensive signings flop. And that's not guaranteed, is it? We have to Ahmad to sell for 50 plus. We just don't sell. So Sunrisers would be. Yeah, but would you do it? Do you sell Ahmad? I wouldn't sell Ahmad. Some of you would, though. I'll put my hands up. You know, he did get a lot of shit last year. Simon says £117 million for Rodgers is insane. Is it, though? Is it, really? I saw a very interesting piece this morning that revenues in football in the last 6 years have gone up by a huge amount. So revenue in football has gone up by a huge percentage, especially for the Champions League clubs. So people are saying £117 million is a lot of money. Who's feeding that? Is that mates of the Glazers? If your revenue 5 years ago has gone up by, you know, let's keep it simple. If your revenue per year is £100 million profit and 5 years later it's £175 million profit, you've had a massive increase in revenue in 5 years. Well, surely player prices go up, wages go up. So revenue is not profit. I know. IROC, but it really doesn't matter. The point is, if your revenue's going up or your profit's going up, you know, use whatever bloody word you like. You're being a bit pedantic. The point is, football earnings in the last 5 years have gone up massively. Now, you're right. Profit probably hasn't gone up, but the profit, if it matches it, means that wages are going up and transfers are going up. So I think logically, a player that was worth £80 million 5 years ago probably is 110 now. You know, Declan Rice went for 106 10 years ago. He probably goes for 50 or 60. So people go £117 million is too much. Jack Grealish left Villa for £100 million 4 years ago. These prices do go up. And I remember Alan Shearer going to Newcastle for 15 million and people went, it's ridiculous. Imagine what those people would have said if Alan Shearer went for 100 million. But the prices will go up. You know, they're not gonna stay the same. I'd like to see Heaven as a starting centre back. I really like Heaven, Simon. The root cause is debt. If we wipe that out, 1.5 billion in Glazers debt, we would have been active. Look, PMA. I think what Andy Mitten says is absolutely spot on. Man United. Look, Morgan Rogers. I didn't want Morgan Rogers. I agree with all you lot. I did not want Morgan Rogers. We spoke about him a lot over the summer. Didn't want him. Good player. Where does he fit in at Man United? For me, he's a number 10. We play a 4-3-3. I don't think he's a winger. Xabi Alonso does what Amrim did. He plays with two number 10s. Morgan Rogers in that team, perfect. Perfect. So Morgan Rogers to Chelsea makes a lot of sense. I don't think Morgan Rogers to Arsenal makes a lot of sense because they only play with one number 10 as well. So I think he's gone to the right club, but I didn't want Morgan Rogers. I agree with you. Wilcox loves Morgan Rogers and Michael Carrick loved Morgan Rogers and they would have done a deal with Villa if they could have got the price down. They're about £40 million off from what we could pay. We would have been looking at around £70 to £80 million. miles off what we could afford. But we did want Morgan Rogers. We did want Elliot Anderson, and we did want Mateus Fernandez. I remember Berardi saying that they planned for the Europa League. We need contingencies, but that statement lowered standards. It's sad. It said that sixth or seventh was good enough. There were times when third was a disaster, says Emily Derry. Players over 100 million last season all flopped, says Jahid. Is that a reason not to buy players then? Because some of them flopped? Mate, give me £100 million. I'll buy Man United a dead cert. Absolutely dead. Well, I can't now. They're all gone. But you give me £100 million, I would have bought as a dead cert. His name was Tonali. If we were to get Vinicius Jr., how much do you really think we can get him for? I mean, ramen. I'll believe it when I see it. And he costs a lot of money. I would absolutely love to be doing a video tomorrow morning saying Man United have bought Vinicius Jr. or Man United have bought Cole Palmer or Man United have gone out and bought Caicedo or Enzo Fernandez. I bloody love it. I've got no problem spending £100 million on a player if it's the right player. All I want is to get Plan A targets. I don't care how much they cost. I just want to get the best player. Yeah? They get our hopes up by releasing news about we want these players when they have no intention of paying, but this time bounce back was quick, thank God, says Seth. Us not affording these players is one reason why the Wrexham game was like it was, says Ray Carl Brown Amori. I think in relation to the Wrexham game, Ray, it's a pre-season game. I wouldn't read too much into it. However, I think we're massively reliant on Bruno Fernandes, shock horror. And I think without Bruno, there's not a lot going on in that team. I think Bruno has to be the key player next season, and he will be the player that gets us in the Champions League again. That whole team is built around Bruno. There's not a lot going on without Bruno in that team. And also, I don't think there's a lot of talent in that team when you don't have Bruno, Mainoo, Casemiro, Cunha, even Sesko, because he's a finisher. I don't think there's a lot going on in that team without the players that aren't there at the moment. I mean, look, Harry Maguire's a steady centre-back, but he's an ageing centre-back. Santos, to be fair, is new. Mbeumo just seems to struggle under Carrick at the moment. I'm hoping that's going to get better. But we don't have a starting 11. We certainly don't have depth. And I think when you play a game like Wrexham, you just see we don't have a lot of depth. We desperately do rely on, and it's not breaking news, is it? Without Casemiro and Maguire and Bruno between January and May, I don't think we'd have been anywhere near top four. So Casemiro's not there anymore. That job to replace him goes on. Hopefully Tielemans and Santos and whoever else comes in can do that. Bruno wasn't there. And, you know, in fairness, Harry Maguire did start to struggle a little bit at the end of the season as well. So I think we need... Martinez is another player that we miss as well. I think some of the fans would rather overpay for stinkers because you can overpay for players who are worth under 50 million rather than pay a big amount for elite player. It's a huge difference, says Shamal. Emily Derry says, this ownership doesn't want to compete. They want to profit. And our board is learning the wrong lessons from past mistakes led by ownership policy and are not that competent in addition to that. I think they are fixated, Emily, on sell-on value, which is a very dangerous thing to implement into a Manchester United board philosophy. I've heard it a few times. We seem a bit obsessed with sell-on value, but we've never been good at that. And also, what are the ingredients of sell-on value? So let's take Santos. I spend £48 million on Santos. For there to be sell-on value, he needs to go for at least 65. How does he become a £65 million player? Well, he needs to play consistently well in a good Man United side. How do you achieve that? Well, nobody's really done that apart from Bruno in the last 5 years. So to create sell-on value, there has to be an increase in value. And to be an increase in value, the player has to come in and be good. And that is normally helped by being in a good team. And we've not been able to achieve that. So I think this sell-on value thing, if they do come in and do well, I don't want to sell them anyway. So I don't like this sell-on value thing. One, it's hard to achieve. And if you do achieve it, you want to keep them because we don't have enough players to be selling good players. So the sell-on value thing is a bit strange to me because if you're Man City, you'll benefit from sell-on value. Look at Savinho. Absolute scam, that is. But they're going to make a lot of profit on him. We're a long way off being a Man City where you've got decent players on your bench that you can sell for £70 million. Many years off, probably. Start, bench, sell, AirPods, tripods, or Lucas Podolski. Yeah, we're not doing that, Eddie, but if you want to get involved in the chat, what better way to start the documentary by signing Vinicius Jr.? Doubt our incompetent club will think like that. Is there chance, you think? I mean, look, I think Panos, when the Amazon deal was done, I think a lot of us hoped that that might be the case. There might be a big marquee signing. I must admit, the suggestion is that there won't be a marquee signing and it'll just be another £50 million player coming in. But look, the day United go and buy a Vinicius Jr. is the day we start acting like a big club again. And I would applaud it because it would be tearing up this scary approach that we seem to be following. But look, never say never in this transfer window. I know United look unlikely to join in, but there are some incredible deals being done and there will be more incredible deals done in the next coming days and weeks. If Man United went and bought a Vinicius Jr., I would stand up and applaud them for a week. I think it would be incredible, but I just can't see us doing it. Luke Shaw couldn't shout to heaven to tighten up, says Emily Derry. Exactly. I know it's only the first preseason game, but my God, Luke Shaw twice a week in Champions League is going to be scary, says Arshan. Yeah, I think I've done that one about that. Mbeumo and Ahmad were done after AFCON. I am expecting more this season. If we receive 60 million, I'd sell Ahmad. I don't think he ever becomes world-class, says Gogo. Is there a price that I would sell Ahmad at, considering I'm on the side of the fence where I like Ahmad? There was a lot of shit against Ahmad last season. He got a lot of, criticism. He was very bad from Christmas until May, if we're being completely honest. Is there a price what I'd sell Mainoo? Well, I think everyone's got a price. As I said, last summer, I'd have sold Bruno for 90 if he was going to play in the midfield. If we're keeping him as a 10, I'd never sell him. So everyone's got a price. For me, if we could get 70 for Ahmad, I'd sell. I'd sell because I could reinvest that. I've got Mbeumo on the right. I've got Cunha. I've got Dorgu who can play on the right. I've got Rashford still at the club. One of Ahmad and Mbeumo are going to spend time on the bench. So if I can get £70 million for one of my bench wingers, I can reinvest that. So I would sell Ahmad for 70, but no one's going to give us 70. But I would sell Ahmad because I do believe that in this market, the ability to sell helps you buy. And we've seen that with Chelsea and we've seen it with Newcastle. Like the ability to sell helps you to buy in this window. Would Vinicius Jr. not be another Di Maria? Having a laugh, Simon. Having a laugh. Simple Simon. What's going on there? Sidekick Simon. Rubbish opinion, that. Mbeumo and Ahmad were done after AFCON. I've done that one. Why haven't we heard much about strikers? If Xerxes goes, we're left with only Sesko. Also, when are we going to start selling Deadwood to buy? We still need three or four maybe signings if we want to compete, says Jack. Well, we've not heard about strikers because Xerxes here. I think they're hoping for a pre-season Pirlo from Xerxes so they can say we don't need anyone. Mark, Ahmad for us is equivalent to Madueke for Chelsea, Curtis Jones and Kwanzaa for Liverpool. We just don't sell those type of players, says Sunrise's Army. Revenue, profits, success, and intransactly linked, says it's me, one missing. I blame PSG. The Neymar transfer ruined the market, says Carlo. Is Rodgers scoring and assisting, says Simon. And also the volume of players we bought over the last decade that lost in value has to be studied. I think two or three increased, the rest lost. This is a big problem, says Smoggy. Well, if you buy Anthony for 90 million euros and you put him on 100 and something grand a week, there's nowhere to go with that. There's literally nowhere to go. Like, it's very unlikely he's going to be the world's best winger if you scout him properly. So you're never going to sell him for a profit. And also, if there's any element of flop and you need to move him on, no one's going to give you that money or that wage. That's where United went wrong in the past. I think that what Chelsea have done with Morgan Rodgers is go, he's a Premier League proven England international who knows the league really, really well. He's not going to flop completely. And we're not looking to sell him on. We're looking at him to be at the club for the next 7 years. And if he replicates the last three at Villa, that's going to improve us as a team. So it's a long-term signing. When you buy Sancho from Dortmund or Anthony from Ajax and you've got no, they're young players that you need to develop, and they've got no track record in that league, you've got a lot of work to do there. So, look, I think Spurs buying Matheus Fernandes and Tonali, the chances of them flopping incredibly badly are unlikely because they've proven themselves in the league. They might not take Spurs to the Champions League, but I don't think they're going to be bad signings for them. Same with Elliot Anderson to Man City. I don't think he's going to flop. He might not be as good as Rodri, but I think for the next few years, Rodgers at Chelsea and Anderson at City and Tonali at Spurs, they're not going to flop because they've proved themselves in this league and they know it. I mean, they might not be Declan Rice standard, but they're not going to flop completely. So you get that quality over the next few years. Duke Studio says the problem is our squad's not worth anything. People forget Sir Jim Radcliffe said in his interview with Neville that the days of big spending were over. This is the plan they've chosen, for better or worse, says Smoggy. Our team is underdeveloped in comparison to the other big six, so they can spend on one or two players, and considering as we need several players. I do agree with that. I do agree with that, Duke Studio. United do need volume, but where I don't agree with people is they're saying, well, we can't buy £100 million player because we don't need one player, we need three. So we've got to get volume in. Even when we've got volume in, we won't spend £100 million on a player. It's not the model. So you can justify it in your mind that we're buying quantity before we start buying the star players, but that's not the model anyway. Gone are the days of buying big players. So Jim said it himself. So we're just never going to be that club, I don't think. And also, maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm old school, but I've never seen a team be successful with this tactic. I've never seen a team win titles consistently being cheap. Leicester won the league as a one-off. They're now in League One. Do you want to win the league and then fall off? I don't want to win the league and fall off. I want to win the league and stay. Every team that wins the league and stays spends a lot of money on players. I've never seen a team do it this way. Rules are there to be broken. Let's wait and see. It's like you said before, Ineos bought into the club. We'll never be, as I've done that one from Rem. Thank you. Okay, look, bit of a longer show this morning, but we are, what are we doing? World Cup final. World Cup final tonight. So we're live at 8 o'clock on That's Football for the World Cup final, which means it'll be a 7 o'clock show on the United Stand. As I said, no talks with Scott directly. I think United are pondering Scott internally, but no talks with Bournemouth or Scott externally because he hasn't made his decision yet. Talks with Kone continue. Chelsea could swoop there. And I would expect Kone to advance very, very quickly, one way or another, in the next week or two. So let's see what happens. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Really appreciate it. Sorry I was a little bit later than normal. I didn't actually tell you last night, so that's bad by me. Stay safe. I'll speak to you later on. Thanks for watching.